You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick and preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. They made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today. Joining us on the OBM hotline right now, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, I can't go too long in Cleveland without bad news, it seems, and bad news finds us again, thanks to Josh Gordon for the second time in less than a year, a failed test, this one for alcohol. What was your reaction?
Well, you know, Nathan, there are two kind of reactions. Number one is, yeah, very disappointing because you realize, you know, the greatness that he has as far as potential is concerned. But then there's a reality side to it. There's a, you know, being a realist about it. And I have to tell you, then there's that side that says, you know, I'm not surprised. I have to tell you, every time I would watch him, whether he was, you know, leaving the facility or after a game or when the team would break for their summer break just before they come back for training camp, I have to tell you, honestly, I would always look at him and I would say, I wonder where he's going. I wonder what he's going to do. I wonder if he's going to stay, you know, on the straight and narrow. And I wonder who he's going to be with all the while he's away. And I think a lot of people felt that way about him, is that, you know, you're really worried about him constantly. Yep. And that's a full-time job when it comes to, you know, Josh Gordon. And whether you're a fan, certainly if you're a teammate, and definitely if you're a coach.
Jim, what do you feel the Cleveland Browns do with him? Because I think that as you've said, you know, professional athletes live in that bubble, and mm-hmm. by drawing that negative attention to him originally because of the suspension, this blast, this, you know, the first one, this one, and it's now like you would think that you would walk the straight and narrow, knowing your right. career is on the line. What do the Browns do?
Well, there's, you know, again, though, there's the you can be very active about it, or you can be very passive about it, because the passive way, Matt, would be that he's kind of taking care of a lot of it himself. You know, if this is all true, and he's definitely failed it, and he faces another year-long suspension, I mean, you could just let him sit there, and you don't have to do anything and make a, you know, obviously a rash or a quick decision about it, because it's, you're not going to have to pay him. It's not like anybody else can come in and swoop in and sign him. And I think basically what you'd be hoping for is kind of a miracle, that he would kind of, you know, all of a sudden have a light bulb go off in his head that says, hey, listen, I'm really out of the game. I don't think there'll be any reduction this time around, a reduced, you know, suspension or anything like that. The other side is that you could become totally intolerant of this and just say enough is enough and you move on. I don't think that many teams can survive having a player like this, you know, on their roster who continually does this. But I think, you know, the Browns fall into the category of one of the teams that can least afford to have a player like this on their roster, because they need so much help on their roster. So you got to wipe out all the great memories, all the great catches, the fingertip catch against the Bills on Thursday night, and all of those yards from, you know, a couple of seasons ago. And you got to wipe that out, and you got to deal with the reality that you just can't count on this guy. So you have two avenues you could go down. I'm a little bit worked up about it today, and I think bye-bye. You know, I think I would say enough is enough.
And it certainly seems a lot of people beginning to feel that way. Even if it doesn't necessarily make football sense, you know that you're just hoping that he comes back at some point and rehabilitates himself, even though you don't know if that's possible. It might be just time to make that statement to everybody about this organization and, of course, this locker room about what will be tolerated by this team and what won't be tolerated by this team going forward. How concerned are you about all the reports that this test failed came after the season, and that he's been spending a ton of time after the season with Johnny Manziel?
Well, you know, even before, you know, I heard about the test, Nathan, the, you know, the picture from, you know, out in Colorado was a bit eye-opening to me. You know, just the way that whole last weekend went down, and the subsequent ESPN.com article by Pat McManaman and Jeremy Fowler last weekend about, you know, the Browns getting ready for that last game, Gordon missing, you know, the practice, you know, Manziel missing the treatment. I mean, it's just got kind of a bad ring to it. And then, you know, I think that there was a real level, and I was very happy about this. And, you know, I'd be, you know, interested to hear what you guys feel about it. But I was very happy when guys like Dansby and Whitner and to some extent Joe Thomas and to some extent Joe Hayden and other players kind of saying, hey, you know what, they're promising us that, you know, if you're not on the bus to, you know, to pull together and win and be a good teammate, then you got to get off the bus or you got to get off the train, right, whatever form of vehicle. But, you know, I was kind of happy with that. So, you know, the connection with Manziel is very, very troubling. But that's more of Johnny Manziel's problem because, you know, he's got a problem right now with kind of, you know, people kind of wondering, can he play? You know, never, you know, can he play? That's his big question right now. And, you know, and then he's got to put it all together. But it was troubling.
Jim, you've said that, of course, Josh Gordon being suspended for a year, you can kind of, you know, compartmentalize him and put him in a corner not having to pay him. But don't you feel that it's just kind of like that dark cloud is still looming or will again loom and that you're guilty by association with this young man because the Cleveland Browns emblem and everything that they stand for and everything they're doing on the football field still is sitting next to his name, which has done, you know, so little right and so much wrong in his time as a Cleveland Brown?
Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you, Matt, you know, and you know, I remember the Browns, you know, back you know, pre-1999 when they were a very competitive team and they, you know, they weren't loaded with great, great superstar talent, but they were loaded with great teammates and great players that kind of got the history and everything and put it all together and won games and got to the playoffs. And sure, they ended up, you know, a step shy a couple of times, but they were right there. I mean, they knew what they were and they knew who they were. And you're exactly right about that. Is that, you know, you have this guy sitting around right now. And you know, Nathan, you know, you and I would watch him, you know, even during training camp last year, and he knew that he was not going to be around at the start of the year, and he thought, really, he wasn't going to be around for the whole year. And I have to tell you, he looked so disinterested, you know, in what he was doing on the field, or when Mike Pettine would say, well, listen, we're going to get him in the preseason games because then we're not going to have him once September comes. You know, you gotta, you know, that's a bad situation for a lot of guys, especially when you have such a young team like the Browns are. I don't think it's good for young players to be around that kind of mood or that kind of attitude.
No, certainly not. I would agree with you there. And that's one of the things that now he won't be around if he is suspended, as they say, for the full season. He's not going to be around at all, won't be allowed at team facilities or anything. So there is that aspect of it, but certainly it is tough for a young team like this. And speaking of young, the Browns do have their offensive coordinator. Young man John DeFilippo will be calling plays for the first time in the National Football League. What were your impressions of him? I thought his introductory press conference was strong. But again, winning the press conference doesn't really matter all that much. You got to be able to win football games.
Yeah, it's all what you do on 3rd and 5, right?
That's right. Or for the Browns, 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9.
Yeah, when you're the offensive coordinator. Hey, good luck to him. I mean, he's gotten rave reviews in everything he's done with, you know, whoever has been the coordinator who has worked with him. And he's done a nice job, obviously, with guys at the quarterback position. So that's certainly going to be a help here. He's 36 years old. It looks like, you know, statistically in that age bracket, guys, he kind of fits into this coaching staff. You know, I know they were talking to a lot of veteran guys. I mean, when you're in talking with the Mike Martzes, Chan Gailey's, and Al Saunders and people like that, that's a different generation.
Sure.
Sometimes that's a hard thing to kind of marry together, and it has nothing to do with, you know, it has nothing to do with personalities. It has to do with more the guys who saw Harry Truman as their president, and, you know, now they're working with guys that are really young. That's a tough thing to put together. I think this sounds like a good fit. It really does. I'm excited for him. You know, obviously he was in the running last year to become the offensive coordinator, and he knows the head coach, and, you know, let's go. Let's see what he can do. I like seeing young guys get an opportunity, especially when they've been successful and have obviously worked very hard. So it appears as though now is a huge opportunity for him to really make a name for himself and to help us, to help all of us with a good offense.
Jim, I love the hire. I love the youth. I love the energy that John will bring to this offense. Do you think that they could maybe get some of that expertise you talked about or experience, you know, via wide receiver coach or quarterback coach to add some of that, you know, that NFL tenure as a coordinator, line coach, or, you know, I know those positions move around, you know, to the offensive side of the ball with such a young offensive coordinator?
Well, I hope so. I really do, because I think that's really important. You know, Doug Deacon always says, and I think it's a good point, Matt, is that, for instance, when you're talking about a wide receiver coach nowadays, wide receivers, and it's, you know, I don't mean to group them all together, but wide receivers tend to be kind of divas now in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, every team seems to have one, and, you know, certainly Josh Gordon was on his way when he did play to be kind of a diva. So I think that when you get a wide receiver coach, you I think you have to get kind of a hard-nosed guy that can handle those egos and those moods and those desires that I want the ball on every play, I'm open all the time. So I think that's a very, very important position now in the NFL, is that a lot of teams, you know, put a lot of money and a lot of high draft choices into wide receivers, and you have to have a guy that can really coach these guys. You know, and be tough and be heavy-handed at times with them, because that can be a room that I think that could really get out of hand, you know, if it's not handled the right way. So that will be a key thing for them, is to get the right people to work along with him.
I think you're absolutely right about that. Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Now, I was never counting on Josh Gordon for this season anyway to be a part of this team. So I don't know that this news changes anything, but going into it, did you think that the wide receiver position is something that would be addressed significantly, whether it be free agency or the draft? And do you think the fact that now you know you're not going to have Josh Gordon, does that change anything?
I thought, I kind of like you, I mean, I thought it would be a reach that we would see him out there, you know, one way or another. And, you know, either they made the choice and said, hey, listen, what happened last year was enough for us. Or what has come out yesterday, that there'd be another failed test. So I'm with you. He certainly wasn't a guy that I was really counting on. And yeah, I definitely think they have to go at it. And they've got to do it probably in free agency. And they definitely have to get a young receiver that they want to count on in the draft. And, you know, unlike the strategy last year, they're going to really have to go at it this year and go find one. I think it's a position of need. And I think that the guys they had last year, especially when Gordon was in there, did a really fine job in holding serve and really played well. I think when Miles Austin went out and when Gordon came in, you know, I think suddenly guys like Gabriel and to some extent Hawkins and Benjamin kind of lost their way a little bit, whereas they were really kind of a good unit earlier in the year when Gordon wasn't there. So I think those guys did a great job, but I definitely, you know, believe that there's got to be a lot of attention and a lot of priority put to that wide receiver position. This seems to be an offensive coordinator, if you follow his history, who really does like to throw the ball. I know he said you have to run the ball in this division at his press conference last week, and that's true. But, I mean, his history is what it is, and I think he likes to throw it. Now you got to have somebody catch it.
Now you certainly need somebody to catch it, and that certainly will be a challenge for the Browns. Jim, appreciate the time as always. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and hopefully one of these days we'll have some amazing story in the news about the Browns. It's super positive that we can really digest.
I cannot wait for that, Nathan. I'll take that phone call in the first ring.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jim.
All right. See ya.
All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our first hour here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More reaction from you, 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.